Let me get my lighter here.
And I guess we can light the charcoal now, too.
Okay, so you light the charcoal.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And that's just going to burn all the way across.
Okay. Now, you sure this is not going to piss it off?
Yeah. So just keep going. Make sure that you get into all of the different corners.
Okay. This corner here?
Yeah. Even inside the shelf there and keep moving around.
Okay. What do we have right here?
A bowl full of sea salt.
A bowl full of sea salt.
We have a burning charcoal.
Okay.
See, that way the charcoal is not going to burn the bowl underneath.
And we're in my room right now.
Yeah. Frankincense and myrrh. Do you have the white candle?
Yes, I have a white candle. I have frankincense and myrrh, which I just purchased today. That's where my life is at right now. I just went frankincense and myrrh shopping on a Thursday afternoon. Once you listen to this episode, you'll understand what's going on. But get to the very end, because we had a psychic on our show. It was a great episode. There were some things that were revealed to me at the very end of this episode, which was a little unsettling for me. And so now we're doing, what would you call this?
A little bit of a banishing.
Okay, we're banishing my room.
There's smoke all in my room.
Run the train!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh, no!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes. You can email Christy and I and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode.
So, have you been to the Iliad bookstore?
Yes.
Are you a fan?
I love the Iliad
bookstore. I love that place.
Yeah.
And I love how, like, Barnes & Nobles and stuff are kind of struggling and stuff, and they're going out. But,
right.
the old school, like, half-price bookstores in California are still, like, killing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Killing it. So I went in there to get Harry Potter books.
Okay, wonderful.
Per your suggestion,
mm-hmm.
I read the first Harry Potter book. I'm very behind. I'm a little late on the Harry Potter trend.
He does everything about like eight years.
10 years. Yeah. I'm going to say yes.
I'm very behind on most trends. And per my girlfriend and her suggestion, I read the first Harry Potter book on an airplane. And like now I'm obsessed.
Right.
I'm absolutely obsessed.
Because they're so good.
The books are so much better than the movies.
Yeah.
So I went to and I got some more books the other day at the bookstore. But it sucks for me because like I can't talk to anybody about it because I'm so behind. You know what I mean? It's like calling one of your friends and be like, yo, did you see that new episode of I Love Lucy? Like I can't. But I will say, per your suggestion and per my girlfriend's, I love it. I'm
good.
Absolutely obsessed.
It's amazing.
And, go ahead.
Then we can go to Harry Potter world properly,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And you can be as big of a dork as I am when I go there.
This all started because Universal opened the Harry Potter world.
Yes, they have the Butterbeer.
Have you been yet?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's so much fun. Did you get a wand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Hell, yeah, you did.
So I'm probably going to go.
So much fun.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go to Harry Potter world in like 20 years once it's not cool anymore.
Closing day.
But we were talking about it. I go, this sounds really cool. I'd love to go. And then she was like, well, you can't go if you haven't seen or read any of the. So now I'm trying to catch up. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Gotta at least know a little bit.
I remember when the books were coming out and they would have people, they would ruin it. And they had people with the megaphones driving up and down the street while people were standing in line waiting
spoiler
to get the book.
Spoilering.
No! They were like, page 67, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And like people were screaming. Did you see that? And yelling. And they would out major plot points and people were having like meltdowns waiting in line to get the book.
I kind of love that. I kind of love that.
I hate it so much.
Nerds.
I would have flipped cars.
I miss that trend. You know, I was 17, 18 when the first book came out. So the last thing I was doing.
You weren't, but yeah.
It came out, what, 98?
Oh, did it?
Okay. I believe so. Okay. I graduated high school in 98. Okay. So.
Damn.
I wasn't reading
that long ago.
I wasn't reading young adult.
No.
At the time.
You weren't.
So. But now I am, and it's
now you use your imagination.
So I pulled out the book on the plane, and there's this little old lady next to me, and she grabs my hand. She goes, "Is this your first time reading Harry Potter?"
And I was like, "You're like, it's my 12th."
Yeah, I know. I should have lied. I was like, "Yeah, it's my first time." She goes, "Oh, I just love it." She goes, "I used to read it to my daughter, and she would tell me, 'Mom, don't read ahead.'" And I would go in my room, and I would read chapters ahead. Sneaky ass grandma. Oh man! So just want to let you know, I am catching up.
I know, and you also picked up Gunslinger, which I really appreciate.
Yep, I went to the Iliad, and I was like, and that was there. I was like, okay, so I grabbed that.
I've turned you on to two different series, and there's like 12 books in each of them.
Yes, so. You've just destroyed hours of my time.
Yeah.
But so thank you.
You're welcome.
So weird segue there. Speaking of mystic stuff, we have a guest today.
Sure.
Who did you bring in?
It's my friend Candace, and she is a medium, psychic, and astrologer.
Hello.
What else do you do? Healer?
Healer. Sorts of things. Read cards.
Yeah.
Read cards.
That's amazing. Thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This is I'm so excited right now.
Me too.
So how did you get started? More importantly, what's the difference between a psychic and a medium?
Basic cable or expanded package.
Okay. Okay.
Nice. I think not every psychic is a medium, but every medium is a psychic. So it's like having an extra channel. So psychics can predict and pick things up from the past and from the future, but mediums have an extra, I don't know, station where they can connect with the deceased.
Okay.
And other spirit beings.
That's so awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna get that in a second. How did you?
That's his favorite part. The mediumship is his favorite part.
Yeah.
Because I'm not fully on board with it.
Okay.
But I'm also not 100% not on board with it either.
Got it.
So I'm like, show me your work and I'll, you know what I mean? That sort of deal. I'm not hard side either way.
Really? Because you're terrified of ghosts.
So am I though.
But I've also never seen a ghost.
Right.
You know what
but
I mean?
But how could you not believe something exists that you're fucking terrified of?
I'm also terrified of plane stuff, and I've never been in a plane crash.
Planes exist.
Oh, I know. Yes, I do know planes exist. Right? That's an excellent point. Like I said, I have no opinion one way.
Well, mediums don't necessarily see ghosts. I mean, we can clairvoyantly describe someone, but I mean, I don't. My life is not like ghost, if that's what you're suggesting.
Damn it, we're gonna make pottery here after the episode. I was gonna sit behind you and Christy. How did you? When did you first figure out that you had this thing, and how did you turn it into your a job?
I've always been really sensitive. I was really sensitive when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I could just see things, talk to things, new things, and then it wasn't until probably like 4 or 5 years ago, a week before my grandfather died, I told the family he was going to die. I just like knew. Mm-hmm. And then 5 days later, he was admitted and then he died.
Now, did he have health problems?
No, he was fine.
Wow.
He was fine. And that's when it started. Wow. So then it was interesting because at the time I was like going through school, getting ready to like go from, you know, doing dental hygienist work to like trying to be a doctor and doing all this stuff. And I had learned to read cards when I was 10 or 11. So I'm a third generation reader.
Okay.
But I never intended on doing it. And so a bunch of things happened. I had a bunch of weird shifts in my life and I started looking at my relationship and what I was doing for a living. And I was just like, you know what? Something's not making sense. Something's going on. And got back into reading cards again and was doing it for fun. And then it just kind of expanded. So after about a year, I had my own practice, started reading cards, charts, meeting people, doing parties. People started coming and I eventually like had to build a website and have business cards. And so I remember after a year of craziness, I was like, that's it. Like, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to give into this and see what happens and haven't looked back.
Wow.
So, yeah. Okay.
So when you came with a family and you said that your grandfather was like, how was that met? And then how was that met after it actually happened?
It's interesting because we were supposed to see him a week after he had passed. And I had told my mom and she's like, it's okay. You're just panicking. Like, you just have anxiety. He's fine. We're going to see him next week. And I was like, I don't think you get it. So after he passed, my mom was like, you know, I should have listened to you and I'm sorry. And I actually ended up taking my mom and my uncle to a medium 6 months after he passed away. And it was a woman who did galleries. So it would be like John Edwards, a group of people who would want to talk to whoever was there. And we went and we sat down and I looked at both of them. I said, we're going to go first. He's already here. And they looked at me like, you're crazy. And then she walked over out of a group of 30 people and started talking to us first.
Wow.
And so she talked to my uncle and she talked to my mom. And she was like, your dad feels really bad because your daughter knew that he was going to die before he died. And he didn't see any of this until after he passed. But you got to listen to her because she's going to tell you things about the family and like her life's going to change. And I was like, okay, so I don't need to see a psychiatrist. Right. I need to go and see a mentor. Right. Right. Yeah. And so that's what I started doing. I have had a couple really great people who I've worked with. And
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you, so now you have a practice. Are you working with a place or are you just on your own?
Both.
Both. Okay. Both. So when people come to see you, what's the number one thing that people are looking at you for?
A lot of people, I think I don't, it's not that I don't advertise myself as a medium because I am, but I just like to tell people, like, let's just sit down and have a spiritual session.
Okay.
you know?
Walk me through, what would a spiritual session be?
Well, depending on what they need. I think my you know, appointments would consist of somebody coming, obviously, seeking something, whether they're saying, I'm hitting a block with my love life, or I'm hitting a block with work, or I've got this going on, or I'm trying to understand why these things are shifting. And so I'll use whatever modality I feel like I need. If it's mediumship for you to connect with grandpa and get some information about the family, or if you need me to read your natal chart and talk to you about what planets are transiting and what the themes are, or if you feel more comfortable with cards. I mean, I'm clairsentient, really. So I just like download. I can just read people. So I don't really need those things, but I think people like it because they feel better.
Sense of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Like if like or someone visual. Just sat down and just like looked at him and then told him everything, I think it might be too much.
Which I love. I mean, it's a cool parlor trick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a cool parlor trick, but I've noticed that the cards kind of slow me down. I mean, I love them, but sometimes I'll be talking to somebody and I'm already downloading information and then I start talking about specific cards and then they come up and I'm like, oh, okay. All right, cool. So sometimes it's like a nice, you know, just kind of guides, but you don't always really need it.
Wow.
Yep.
So would you say the number one thing when people come in is it mostly relationships?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love and money. Love and money. Love and money. Love and money. Love and money.
Yeah. I think the only time that I've ever gone to something like that, one of my best friends back home does it. And the only time I've actually like sought him out was because of, you know,
relationship
stuff.
Yeah.
If you could give one piece of advice that you think would help the masses as far as relationships are concerned, what would it be?
Sometimes it's better not to know. Sometimes it's better not to know. I mean, like I get a lot of people that are like, well, I checked his Instagram and he said he was here, but he was there. And can you pull cards on that? It's like, you want to consult the Oracle for that?
Right. Yeah. You need a private investigator.
That's just stalking. Yeah. Now you're psychic stalking.
You could ask any question in the world. You want to know why? What he posted on Instagram?
It's like I think that would be my advice. That or, you know, you have free will. You know, readings are subjective and they're meant to be something that's almost like psychological that you have to sit with and break down and then apply it and then see how it plays out.
Sure.
So it's not always very literal. It can be, but it's not always very literal. So it's kind of what you make of it.
Have you ever like done like doing cards or doing a reading and you've seen something that you're like, that's like not great?
All the time.
Oh, okay. So how do you handle that? Do you ask them, hey, do you want to know this? Do you just not tell them?
My job as a go-between is to be a messenger.
Okay.
So, of course, the delivery is everything.
So, hey, maybe not get on that flight to Florida in 2 weeks. Can you say that?
I don't think I've said anything like that, but I may say, like, you may want to reconsider traveling at this time.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can't spin it.
Right.
Because
I
feel like if we spin it or if we manipulate it, we run the risk of not being able to continue being in that position of being a receiver.
So if you manipulate that in the wrong way, that it shuts down?
Can.
Hmm. Wow.
Don't misuse the gift or the gift gets taken away.
Yeah.
What about for you, like in dating and stuff? Like how when do you put this onto people? When do you tell people that this is what you do? Is it
It depends. I don't have any shame in what I do. And I think that that's the big thing because it's totally changed my life. So in a way, it's something I'm proud of. But if I can't potentially date somebody or be with somebody that's not at least receptive and respects it, they don't have to agree.
Right.
We don't have to talk about it. They don't have to participate in it. But if they can at least be like, okay, you do that. I respect that.
Right.
issues.
But are guys like intimidated because like so my for like my mind would be like if I started dating her, like I can't lie. Like I can never like sneak
and I've
around.
Heard that. Right. And I've heard that. And it's a grab bag.
Not that I want to anyways.
Right.
But knowing that that's not even an option is a little terrifying.
It's a grab bag. I think I've had people who were a little like, I don't know about that.
Right.
And then I've had other people that are like, great, read my cards.
Okay.
So it depends. But yeah, I think for the most part I've had mostly positive positive experiences.
So say you meet a guy for a first date and he like sits down. Are you immediately?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm in like Terminator mode where my screen comes up and I'm analyzing the entire.
It's like the mystic wave, like automatically going through their text messages on their first date, right. Which is just in seconds.
Instead of Googling them.
Right. Yeah. So a guy sits down for a date, and so you've already sized him up. Do you So what happens? Do you
This happened recently, actually.
Did it really?
Yeah, so okay. I'll tell you about it.
But
it's not intentional. So when I read, it sounds weird, but I go in and out of my body. Like sometimes I'll just kind of zone out. So when people are talking to me when I'm doing this, they can just kind of tell that I'm not really paying attention. I'm here, but I'm not here because I'm pulling information. Mm-hmm. And I don't realize that I'm doing it because I feel like when I'm a little uncomfortable or a little bit new to a situation, I'm going to be doing that. And I went on a first date the entire time. I thought I was fine, but I didn't really find out until recently. He was like, no, I know when you're doing that. I can tell when you're reading me.
Okay.
And during the date, you know, some things came up that were kind of serendipitous that we talked about. And we've gone on a couple of dates since, but I'll finish sentences. So we'll start talking about something and he'll start talking about something very specific. And then I will start finishing the sentence before he says it. And he just looks at me like deer in the headlights.
This is the first date?
I think it happened more so. I mean, I was sizing him up a lot on the first date, but like second and third date, I was finishing sentences.
Wow.
And
he was cool with it though.
Well, yeah. I mean, he knows what I did. I think first I kind of was like, yeah, I read cards. I'm like spiritual.
Right,
and then it came out. I was like, psych. I'm a medium. I talk to dead people. but no, he's into it. He can tell when I'm doing it. So he kind of goes like, stop, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, I'm off duty.
Right.
I'm off duty.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Has that ever stopped you from, like pursuing someone?
Yes.
Okay. So what did you see?
I think I'm really good about being able to pick up patterns in their mannerisms and how they act. I can sense when people get very nervous, mm-hmm. and not nervous like I'm giving you butterflies, like nervous like I'm hiding something,
mm.
or I'm not being completely honest. So that's happened before. And like anytime I've had something where somebody was being less than honest or maybe was potentially not being completely upfront about seeing other people or something,
right.
I've always just been – I actually will have a dream. So if I have a dream about there being someone else or – that, you know, there was somebody that I was seeing a couple months back who was married in the process of getting separated and
divorced.
Oh, you
were seeing him and he was still married?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And he was separated and they were going through a divorce, but he had never told me any of this. And so after about a month, I had a dream and called him. I said, are you married?
No.
And he said, yeah. And I was like, okay, we're done here. We're good.
So you had a dream that he was married. He never told you he was married?
No.
Oh. See, that's crazy because I have so many dreams that I just write them off and that you don't have that luxury.
Yes and no. Not all dreams are literal, but I think that sometimes I get messages in dreams that I need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they're just like bogus. It just depends. And if I have a hunch, it's like sometimes if I know something, I just know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's because I'm intuitive, maybe because I'm a Scorpio, but I'll just like dig
right.
until I find it. Once I find it, I'm like, aha, I knew it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the new venture that you're about to go on? You're becoming a doula.
Yes. So I'm becoming a death doula or a death midwife.
What is that?
Okay. So baby doula helps people have babies.
Okay.
I am becoming a death midwife. So I'm basically a spiritual counselor for end of life care. So people who are either terminally ill, who obviously have time to kind of plan. Our goal is to keep people out of hospice and out of the hospital. If people know that they're terminally ill and they're going to be either dying in the hospital or having the option to go home or going to hospice, they bring me in. So I'm an at-home funeral director. It's like Buddhist tradition. Come in, work with them, talk to them about end-of-life care, talk to the family about that, work with them at bedside through the whole process of them dying so they can die at home with family peacefully, comfortably, without any pain, without any fear. And I think that it kind of went hand in hand with being a medium, because if I can talk to dead people and if I can work with the people who are dying, I think it's great to be able to talk to them about what the process is like so they're not afraid, so we don't have souls that are having weirdness about leaving their body. So I've actually learned everything from prepping them to doing ceremonial prayers, shutting down all the energy points on the body when they do die so the soul can leave the body, and then traditional three-day vigils. So I have to learn how to prepare the body for at-home three-day vigils, and you know, family will come in and they will visit and they will have their get together and they will honor them, and then they either decide that they're going to have them buried or have them cremated,
right?
Or do at home burials.
Wow.
So it's been an adventure. I got accepted in the program in November, so I graduate November of this year. So I'm halfway done.
That's gotta take a lot out of you, though, doesn't it?
Yes and no. I mean, I think going into it, I thought it was gonna go a certain way, and then it went a totally different way, and I'm not that I'm not an emotional person, but I'm not somebody who's likely to cry in front of other people. And I went to the first module of my classes and got to deal with what we were talking about. And I realized, like, I spend so much time talking to dead people. I'm so insensitive to the living. And it made me process a lot about your own death and, like, if I were to die or family members were to die. And it put all of everything for me in perspective. And it's been really, really, really great.
Super interesting.
That is.
Yeah. Go on.
This is so fascinating to me. Can you turn it off ever? Or yes. is it just an onslaught all the time?
To some degree, it's on all the time, but I practice the dial method, so I can turn it up and I can turn it down. Like, there are some situations I know it needs to be turned down, but I also know that there have been times where I feel like it's turned down and I'll have something spike up, and it only spike up if I need to know it.
Okay.
Or if I need to be aware of something.
How is this? Give me an example of, like, when this has come in and, like, really helped you out or really.
Okay. So my ears ring, and that's, I pick up on frequencies, and that's how I can tell what's around. And it was a couple months back. I was in Echo Park and it was late, and I was in my car and I went to go turn my car on, and my car wouldn't turn over. The battery was dead. So I was calling a friend, and it was like 2 a.m. and I was saying, can you come jump my car? Da 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 da. I get out of my car, I pop the hood, I'm getting everything ready for them to come. And then I got just totally, like, shocked in the ear with a ring, and I looked around and I was like, no, it's fine, everything's okay. And, you know, continue getting ready, standing outside waiting, and then I got it again. It was like somebody boxed my ears, and I was like, okay, I'm getting in the car. I get in the car, I sit there, and something says lock the door. So I lock the door and I look around, I'm like, where is it? And then I hear screaming, and there's people yelling and screaming, and I see this guy taking off running, and he's running towards my car, and there's two guys chasing him with guns.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
And goes chasing him, and, like, they, like, were, like, fighting and, like, all over each other. And I was like, oh my God.
Holy
Thankfully,
shit.
Nothing happened to anybody. The other guy got away, but the other two were just standing there holding their guns. And I was like,
I'll just
reclined all the way back in my car, holding my breath. Like, going, like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. So when it will pop up when I need it.
So it's like Spidey senses. Your ears will
absolutely
start.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, man. So what about, like, in dating and relationship stuff? So say a guy, so you're on a date and a guy sits down and you're immediately like, no.
Which
no.
has happened has it really? A lot of times.
Probably more often than not, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do in that situation? What's happened when that's come up?
I'm a sweetheart. I'll have the date. I'll be like, thanks, everything's great. And then I just fall off the planet. I'll just ghost them.
We've asked that question a lot on this show. How long do you sit and put up with a date when you know that it's not going anywhere? Do you sit through the date?
Right. It's worse for you because you literally know it's not going
to
go anywhere.
Yes and no. I think I'm the least sensitive when it comes to relationships because it's hard because it's so close. It's so in your face that you can be delusional. So I will pick up on things that I need to know, but there are other things that I just won't pick up. And then afterwards, I'm like, wow, I totally got caught up in that.
Can't believe I missed that one.
Yeah.
Like the married guy.
Yeah, like the married guy. That didn't go on too long. Not too long. But yeah, there have been other times where I'm like, wow, I just did not see that coming from that person. And by the same token, there have been other people that I just didn't really necessarily take very seriously at first, and then it turned out to be something else.
Right.
So,
okay.
So it goes both ways.
I think a lot of people struggle with that, whatever level, because we all have intuition, right? So whatever mm-hmm. level of intuition you're tuned into, that people find it really hard to say, is this my intuition or is this fear talking to me? And they have a really hard time telling those two apart.
Exactly. That's it right there.
Yep. So yep. you're still in the process.
I'm
of figuring
still in
it
the
out.
Process of figuring it out. I think I'm a little gun shy after being single for the most part for mm-hmm. a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like I'm kind of iffy, but at the same time, I think there's something cool and something to be said about, like, because I get readings too. So when there,
or you go and see somebody.
Yeah, I'll see somebody. So when serendipitous things happen, I'm kind of like, oh, maybe I'm on the right path. But then again, I've gotten to the point where it's like, I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to get like paranoid. I'd rather just not know. Like in this case, like I want to be a muggle.
Right.
And I really do want to have.
I know that reference. Yay! I get that reference.
Welcome, Justin. 1998.
Here's the problem. Like, does this come up? Like, so you meet somebody new. Is it? Do they want you to do parlor tricks? So,
oh god.
My first reaction if I went on a date, this is our first date, and you told me what you do, I'd be like, oh my god, tell me everything, you know. And you're like, oh, I just kind of want to get to know you and have coffee with you. Does that ever become a hindrance?
It's not. It has happened before, but I think sometimes if you catch me in a good mood, I'll do stuff just to kind of mess with you.
Well, give me an example.
Okay, so this person I started seeing, once he found out what I would do, he was like, well, can you read my mind? And he's like, what, you know? And I was like, you don't want me to do that.
Right.
And then we went back and forth. And this is a guy whose sentences that I was able to finish a couple times. And it was interesting because I've brought up a couple things. At first, he was kind of like, tell me something. And I told him, I don't want to read your cards. And finally, I read his cards for fun. And it wasn't until like the third date that I really kind of started, like I said, finishing his sentences and said a couple things that were very specific. And I think he knows that it's the real deal now. I don't think he doesn't want me to pry. He's very open at the same time. So we talk about everything, and he's just been kind of like, well, if there's anything you want to know, like, you can read, like, there's nothing that I have to hide. Like, and I told him, if I see something that I don't like, I'm just going to totally kind of back off. And he's like, you're not going to find anything. Go ahead.
Interesting.
Right? So okay. It's
good. Can you read minds?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes I can. It depends. A lot of it depends on the person. I don't really feel like if I'm doing a session, I can read their mind. I think that I can. I'm very empathic, so I can be very specific about how they feel and break it down and explain it to them so they don't feel crazy, and just tell them I understand and this is why you have to do X, Y, Z. But then there are other times where I'm like, this is what they're thinking. I'm going to say it just to freak them out.
Oh, my God. I would lose my mind.
I like to sit in the car with people right before the radio turns on or before a song changes, and I'll start singing the song before it comes on the radio.
We've talked about it in the show before. That happens to me all the time.
That's because spirit works on frequencies.
Really?
So you're picking up on it, you know, clairvoyantly, clairaudiently, telepathically before it actually plays. But I like to do that because people look at me like, what?
Right. Yeah. Right. But it's LA, you just sing like Red Hot Chili Peppers and you have like 80% chance of being right. You got me again. So talk to me about talking to the dead.
Okay.
I'm very interested in that. So someone comes to you and they're like, my grandmother or whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you, is there sometimes when that person's not there, and how do you break that to them? How do you get them in touch with that spirit?
I basically tell everybody I don't force appearances.
Okay.
That if somebody doesn't come in, I'm going to tell you they're not coming in.
Right.
If you know, a lot of times they'll say, I want to talk to grandma, and I'll be like, okay, but there's two other people that are cutting in line. So let me just tell you what they have
really?
To say. Yeah, and that's kind of interesting, and I think that's when people kind of buy it. I'm big on, like, confirmations. So when they say, I want to talk to so-and-so, I'll be like, okay, let me dial in on that person. And then I'll be able to confirm, like, okay, this is how they died. This is what they're showing me. These are their demeanor. This is how they act, or they're showing me these symbols, or they looked or sounded this way. So I can pick up on, like, sometimes names, accents, visuals, mm-hmm. things that how they want to come across to let them know that it's them.
Okay.
And then we talk to them. And what I love about it is it's no different than having a conversation with the living. I mean, they very much keep their personality. And
really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's never scary for you?
It's not scary. I think because I understand that they're always around, mm-hmm. and that, you know, it's kind of a tough predicament to be in where, you know, they can visit us whenever they want, but we can't really see them, or we can't, most of us can't always pick up on it.
Right.
So a lot of them are kind of like, sweet, there's an opening. We get to have a kiki. Let's talk.
Okay.
And it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's cool to be able to help people. I'm not in this business to make people believe. And that's what I tell people. I say, if you want, you know, a magician, I'll get you a referral. But, you know, but if you want to give it a shot, let's have a conversation and let me see if I can change your mind.
That's so cool. Okay. So back to like when people come to see you. So most of the stuff it has to do with like money and dating and relationships and mm-hmm. stuff. Are you, so say a young woman comes to see you and she's concerned about her guy. Are you able to, and have you been like, yeah, he's cheating, he's a piece of shit, you should leave him?
Yeah, I have no problem telling people that.
Like, here's the chick he's doing it with. She lives on the south side. Yeah, that's funny. Okay.
Candace has no fear.
I don't have a filter, so that's the other thing. But what's interesting is, man, I've talked to a whole lot of girls that do some cheating themselves.
Oh, really?
So, and that's what's been very interesting is that I've had people who will sit in front of me and be like, so tell me about, you know, my relationship. I'm like, who's this guy over here? What's going on over here?
Oh, really?
And then they're like, and then they get embarrassed because they just lied to a psychic. And then we're both kind of awkward. And I'm just like, do you want to talk about it?
Right. Yeah.
It's there. What do you want me to do with it?
See, that's what I would be afraid about if dating and stuff, because it's like, okay, don't think about, you know, you're like watching a movie and there's like some hot chick on there. You're like, okay, don't think about how hot she is. Like, you just like look over, you're like, oh, you want to,
Alternatively, have you ever had people come to you to ask you, how do I put this? To achieve goals that are less than savory, like when is he going to leave his wife for me?
Oh, yeah. Are you serious right now?
Does that happen a lot too?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so weird. I don't know if I would use that. I don't know if I would waste that. I would ask you for like lottery numbers before that.
Hey, I've gotten that too. I've get that guy once a month. but no, people will do that. And there have been so many times where I've actually told people, like, you don't need a psychic to tell you he's not going to leave his wife.
Right.
And that's when I kind of feel the need to draw the line and go, you know, maybe we need to be redirecting the reading on like what you need to do to be able to let go and like release this, because you're not getting what you need. So you need to do the self work to bring in a partner that's a vibrational match.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you do couples?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Professionally. You also professionally.
Yes and no. I generally speaking, I will not do a clairvoyant or a tarot reading together. However, I do synastry astrology. So I tell people whether or not they should get married based off of their star charts.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Nice. So, yeah.
Okay, hold on. How often do people be like, okay, that she said it's not going to work, and but most of the time they just ignore it, right?
I don't know. I've had people that called me several months after I said don't do it, and it's generally the men. I've mm-hmm. heard from several men that are like, girl.
You saved
they saved me. Yeah.
Really?
Or I'll say, you know, I sit down and I go, well, this is how you are with money. This is how you guys are in bed. This is how you guys are when you communicate. This is how you are if you were to have a family. And this is what it looks like. And then, you know, I've heard from a handful of people, women too, that are just like, thank God I didn't do that. You're so right. And I'll be like, well, this is who you should be dating. And then just talk to them about, you know, what signs to be looking for, or what, you know, placements, or when astrology is cool because it can get predictive. So I can say, I tell people when to get married too, you know, when mm-hmm. astrologically is a good idea to get married. Mm-hmm. But it's very accurate. It's very creepy accurate. So it's, you know, I don't really talk to anybody unless I've looked at their chart, because maybe I'm biased, but you know, there's something to be said about that.
Because go ahead. I was wondering how many people actually follow that advice. Okay, so you, Mick is the love of your life,
right?
You sit down with her and she's like, yeah, you guys, this is not a thing. Do you listen or do you go on with it?
I mean, I wouldn't have, but right. She would have been wrong.
right. In that sense, yes. But everyone thinks that.
In any no. there's definitely been relationships that I've been in the past where if I sat down across from Candace and she was like, are you guys fucking kidding me? I'd have been like, all right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, you're right.
But
I
have you looked at his chart before?
I haven't.
Do you know his rising or his moon?
No.
See, and that's kind of cool because I feel like I've said this for the past couple of months. I was like, the next one I go into, I don't want to know. And I kind of screwed that up already. But and what's interesting is like I feel with my software, anything over like about a 70% is really great. And it's an excellent match. And I met somebody, and it's rare that I do professional couples that end up being over that. Usually it's around there, and that's really good. Last year I met somebody who we had like a really high match, and I was like, this is it. She's going to put a ring on it.
Right.
We're
this
great. We're ready to go. And 2 months in, I wanted to strangle him. It was like dating myself. And I realized like maybe this isn't what I thought it was.
Exactly.
Maybe there needs to be some other things going on that may not be perfect. And I have had a habit of writing people off because of their sun sign.
Okay.
And there are some signs that I just don't play with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And getting my mind changed. Getting my mind changed.
Well, you spoke in the beginning of this about self-will. And I find that people can get really hung up on star charts and sun signs and all those types of things. But people also have to choose whether they evolve or not. They can either be the highest part of their sign or they can be in the shadow of their sign. And you're going to get two very different people, right?
That's so true, especially because, you know, it's not like the stars are or the planets, you know, have magnifying glasses and we're ants. It's not like that. We're here to overcome our astrological challenges. So in that sense, every sign has its pluses and its minuses. So I guess if you're looking at it in that way, I don't know, we're the same. We're both Scorpios with Aries moon. So we're spicy.
So are you dating anybody now?
Kind of.
Oh.
We haven't had that talk yet.
Oh, okay. Right.
Did you chart him immediately?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's funny because
when we
you know, it's funny because when I met him and I first started talking to him, I asked him I met him on Tinder.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
It's so many people on the show. That's
okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've been so. I feel like Tinder is just entertainment. It's like everybody goes on there between 10 and 3 when they get home from the bar.
Okay. Right.
So I haven't taken it seriously, and I never met anyone on Tinder. And we started talking, and I had put on my profile, you know, message me if you want to co-parent a micro pig.
Okay.
And he sent me a message, and we started talking back and forth, and he had said to me, you know, I said, when's your birthday? And he said, oh, I'm a Gemini. And I was like, well, it was nice meeting you.
Yeah, unfollow.
Unmatch. And he messaged me a couple times and was like, this could be us, but, you know, you're afraid of my birthday. And he was sending me like little cute cuddle memes.
Right. Uh-huh.
So we talked back and forth, and I ended up meeting him and then running his chart. And what's interesting is that I didn't think we were going to communicate very well because I'm not so great with that sign. But when I ran our charts, our communication is like off the charts, no pun intended. And it's great. It's really good. He's very different. He's challenging, and not many people challenge me.
Nice.
And he said the same thing. So I think that's what gets it going, is that we have really good banter.
Right. That's cool. And did you go to your psychic about him?
No, oddly enough, my psychic some time ago, a couple months ago, had brought up, oh, you're going to meet somebody that does this kind of thing for a living, and, you know, he'll be a couple years older.
Before you met him?
Before I met him. And she had said this in January, and then she reiterated it again recently. And the one thing that had me hung up is she said I'd meet him in July and then he'd be a Taurus. Well, he's 2 days away from being a Taurus.
Okay.
So when I talked to her recently, actually, I was kind of like, I think you're wrong. And she was like, she like called me on some BS and was listen to me. This is what I think. She's like, a couple weeks ago, you had said you didn't care if you meet anybody, that you were totally ecstatic being single. And she's like, you shouldn't have said that. And she's like, I think it's him. And I said, well, I don't think he's a Taurus, and we'll see. And what's funny is that, like, I know it's him. Like, I already know it's him. And I wouldn't admit it to her. And I felt bad afterwards. And I've seen all these weird things that she spoke about that have come up that confirms that it's him. And I sent her an email and I said, yeah, you're probably right. And I sent photos of him to her. And she was like, yeah, that's him.
What type of things came up that she had talked about?
She spoke explicitly and she said, you'll know it's him when you see his ring. And it didn't make sense to me because she wasn't specific, but she had said that there would be a symbol on it. And a couple months ago, I went to go and get a healing. And in the healing at the end, you know, the healer had said, well, I want you to look for the fleur-de-lis. You're going to start seeing it everywhere. And that's your sign. That's your symbol to follow that. And so mm-hmm. people have given me little coins with the fleur-de-lis. And like, I've gotten all of these things. And so to me, it's kind of like, that's my go this way.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And so we had dinner last night. And we were talking and I looked down at his hands and he was wearing a ring that had that on there.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. And I looked at his ring and I was like, damn, she's good. She's good. She's good. So, and actually what's, I've been totally honest with him. I kind of already in a weird way, I was like, don't freak out. And I told him and he was kind of into it because he doesn't have anything to hide. So right. we've been really open with each other about stuff. So nice. I think it strokes his ego a little bit. So sure. I'll let him have it.
Cute. I love that. I love that. What a cool story.
That's great.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed this a lot. I think it's super interesting, all of it.
I kind of want to add.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to because I don't want to know the answer because I don't want to freak out.
Oh, he wants to know if this room's haunted.
Because, not haunted, because a couple of weeks ago, the dog won't come in here.
Okay.
And she won't come in here. And I jokingly said, it's because there's ghosts in here. And she immediately attacked me and said, there's no ghosts in here. You're being silly. And
well, no. What I said is that dogs sense that thing and they're more sensitive to
right.
it. So there probably right. are.
Just tell me my room's fine is all I want to hear. Is there somebody in my room? No. Stop it. Stop it. Is there?
I don't like that corner.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it. You should just burn some frankincense and some myrrh.
Are you fucking with me right now?
No, I'm not crazy about it. I have to be honest with you. That's why I didn't want to sit there. I wanted to sit over here.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just sensitive. I mean, who knows what it is? Yeah.
Okay, what do I need to get?
Some frankincense and myrrh.
Okay.
I'd also like to point out that he said he wasn't sure if he was on board with all of this when we started the conversation. And the moment you said he's going out to buy frankincense and myrrh,
yo.
He crawled up onto his chair like he was fucking Spider-Man. I just want to throw that out there just so the listening audience can see that. That's what his skeptical mind came up with.
But not like anything, nothing like evil is over that corner, right?
No.
You're just not in love with
it. I'm just not in love with it.
Okay. Interesting.
We'll go after this. You can't have to go to sleep tonight.
Yes, I'm not going to sleep for a week. You should know that right now.
Right up the street.
We'll oh, do you sleep that. In here?
This yeah. is my room.
Oh, shit. Surprise.
My favorite thing that's ever happened on this show.
No.
Hooray.
Oh, no. I'm never sleeping again. But not like in a bad way. I should change
rooms.
How
many times are you going to ask her the same thing?
I'm scared now.
I just think it's just I mean, maybe there's something in the closet.
Stop. Now you're fucking with me. Now, are you?
Is she?
Oh God!
We'll go after this.
Yeah, a bunch of band T-shirts that were popular in the 90s. That's what's in that.
Maybe
closet.
That's what's haunted.
The ghost of Justin Past.
Oh, this is amazing. Okay, so how can people find you?
You can find me. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter, but go find me on Instagram. I'm at beyondtheveil_tarot.
Okay,
the T is silent.
And if people want to professionally come see you, you have an email address you want to throw out there?
Yeah, you can email me at candace@beyondtheveiltarotreadings.com, or you can go check that out. I write a blog, too.
What's the address on the blog?
It's beyondtheveiltarot.com.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my services and how to get in touch with me and follow all my craziness on Instagram.
Dude, I love it. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
on
you guys
today.
For
I hope
having
you had a good
me.
Time.
Thank you.
I'm mortified now, and yeah. I'm going to set my room on fire.
Pretty much.
For our show, visit us, fosterthepodcast.com. We'll throw a link on for your website on our webpage also. So if you guys want to find Candace, go to fosterthepodcast.com and subscribe to our show on iTunes. Just search Foster the Podcast on there and hit subscribe. We're also on Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. And also for my stand-up tour dates, visit me, justincomic.com. I'm going to be at the Improv in West Palm, Florida.
My hometown.
Yep. June 30th through July 3rd. Yeah, come out. You should come.
I might.
It's 4th of July weekend, so you ain't doing nothing. Yeah, you won't fly. Christian won't fly.
Oof. I'm not crazy about flying either.
I'm not either.
Mm-mm.
I don't either. Okay. All right. Well, that's it. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.